I invite you to stand as you're able for the reading of the gospel.
Then Jesus said to his disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give me an account of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly, for the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and whoever is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth."
There are a lot of questions that run through my mind when I hear this parable, and perhaps the one that I'm left with contemplating most this week comes from the very parable itself. And it's that question, how much? So I come with an acknowledgement that I'm not an astute business person. I've only worked in churches most of my adult life, except for that one summer at Arby's. And there are pictures to prove it, in case you're wondering. But I'm in the business of people. I don't understand dollars and cents, but I think I know enough that when I deposit money in a savings account or in a retirement account or in a college account, someone's managing it and watching over it and stewarding it and trying to take this money and make it into more money. That seems very simple to me. Again, not a business person, but that seems to be the basic principle of earning income and managing money. But I do know that, first and foremost, everything I have is God's, and so that's a good place to start, is acknowledging that anything that I have is a gift from God. But not being a business person and trying to understand this parable from a business perspective gets me in trouble, because Jesus doesn't seem to be making sense in telling this parable. Because we have the story of this man who owns things. In fact, he owns so many things that he has to put other people in charge of his things. He has to put people in charge of them in order for them to be managed well. And if the manager of those things does well and turns that bit of stuff into more stuff for the master, then the master does well and will reward the manager, and everyone wins, and it makes sense, to me at least. But then we get into this story that Jesus tells about a certain manager who has a master. And the master finds out that this manager has been squandering his master's money. Now, what he did to draw attention to himself, or to turn himself in, or to show his hand, or play his cards, or how he squandered the money, we do not know. But we do know that the master calls him in. "You there, manager of mine, Mr. Manager, I hear that you aren't doing a great job. Let me see your books. I want to see what you've been up to. Of course, sir, you see, I've got them in the office right across the street. Just let me go back there and get them. I may take a lunch break while I'm gone. Go check on the wife and kids, maybe an extended. In fact, let me come back in about 5 hours and I'll show you my books. And then you'll see everything that I've accounted for. And so he leaves in a panic and he's distraught because he hasn't worked a real day in his life except for that one summer flinging hummus at the falafel restaurant. I don't know, maybe not. He doesn't know how to dig his own hole, but he's digging his own grave as he speaks. He's too proud to beg. You see, he's been in a place of power managing others' affairs. And he's worried that when the manager loses his job, the master will kick him out. And if he gets a reputation as being a bad worker, then he's worried who's going to hire him if he's a squanderer or a cheat. And so he comes up with a very shrewd idea. He starts going to the people that owe his master money. He writes off a portion of their debt, thinking, well, at least if I lose my job, these people might hire me because I've saved them something on my way out the door. So he calls the first one and says, you owe my master 100 barrels of olive oil. Tell you what, if you make it 50 today, that's what you've got on hand, we'll call it even. I'll walk away with the 50 jugs. We'll call the debts off. Sound good? Fine. Sign here. I've got business to take to. Just remember me if you think fondly of me. And then he goes to the next debtor and says, you there, you owe my master what? 80 barrels of wheat. Let's make it, you just write me 80. You owe 100. Cool. I'll cut you a 20% deal. Sign here. Just remember me when you start to hear that things aren't going well at the firm down the street. And so he feels very satisfied and he goes back to his master with at least everything accounted for, if it's not all there 100%. He hands the book to the master, waiting for his punishment, waiting for the shoe to fall. The master takes the book and looks it over, and he skims through the lines and the ledgers, and he takes off his glasses and peers over the edge of his glasses at this manager of his and says, why, you little genius, you. This is brilliant. I've never seen anyone so shrewd, so cunning, so conniving. How did you do it? This is unheard of. You can't teach this in school. Tell you what, I'm going to promote you to my personal advisor. Now, that's not what happened in as many words, but it seems to be what happens in the scriptures, where this shrewd manager who cancels and cuts off debts is promoted and rewarded. So just to be clear, before going on, I'm against stealing. I'm against lying and dishonesty and cooking the books, and I'm not going to disappear across the street and take ledgers and show back up on Tuesday with a false accounting for what we have. But it seems that Jesus is somehow saying this is the meaning of the parable, isn't it? And so if that's the meaning of the parable, if shrewd management is really the meaning of the parable, if that's the thing, then there's got to be something in the numbers, right? In that 80% or that 50%. How much was the debt of 100 jars of oil worth? And why was it cut in half? How much was the debt of 100 barrels of wheat? And why was it reduced to 80%? What's the difference? And I think if we could just use enough of our intellectual, historical criticism to get to the factor and equation, then we've got the parable settled, right? I think we have to ask how much 20% is worth to us. How much is 20% worth to the manager? How much is 20% worth to the debtor who owed 100 containers of wheat? And when we ask these questions in hopes of somehow coming up with a magic equation that enlightens us to Jesus's understanding of the kingdom, then we have to ask again, how much? But maybe it's not really a question of how much, 80% or 50% or 20% or 100% may be. Maybe it's an issue of not asking about the percent of stuff, but asking about how much it costs to inherit eternal life. I mean, do we really need to give 100%, or can we give 80%, or can we give 50%, or 20%? Or can we, with boldness of the woman that comes up to Jesus in Mark's gospel and says, Lord, even the dogs lick up the crumbs from the master's table, and the crumbs are enough. There's another story of a rich young man coming to Jesus and asking how much. When he says, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, you know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother. And the young man replies quite boldly and assured of himself, I have kept all of these commandments since my youth. And Jesus says, you still lack one thing. Take all you have and sell it. How much, Jesus? Take all you have and sell it. Give it to the poor and then come follow me. How much did you say, Jesus? All of it, Jesus says. And the young man becomes sad because he was very rich. How much? How rich? How much did he have, and how much did he have to lose? How much do any of us have? I think the question isn't how much, but how much is enough? I mean, how much is enough to get us to that point of comfort? John T. Rockefeller was asked the same question about how much was enough, and he famously said, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more, huh? Just a little bit more money in the bank, just a little bit more food on the table for yourself, just a little bit more time filling our minds and thoughts with things that aren't of God. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more in hopes of what, really? You can't take it with you, after all. There's a man who was very ill, who had amassed for himself a great, great wealth and fortune on his own, by his own work, by his own shrewdness. He knew that his end was coming, and so he brought together his team of lawyers and had his will rewritten so that when it came time for his death, the funeral arrangements would be paid for, and there would be a little left over for his wife and children and grandchildren, but no estates, no foundations, no giving to charities or churches or schools. He wanted it all buried with him, lining the inside of his coffin. But his wife was a dedicated wife, and when the time came, she followed the wishes because she loved him and because she was legally bound to do so. And at the protesting of friends and family and children, and even the lawyers who drew up the contracts trying to help her find a way out, she said, no, it's all right. I'll honor his wishes. And at a quiet, solemn, angry graveside service, you could hear a pin drop as the casket was lowered into the ground. And in the stillness and the quiet, the minister leaned over to the widow and said, why did you do it? It doesn't make sense. How could you do it? And how could I do it? The widow replied, because I wrote him a post-dated check. And that's what it's like to be a child of this age that Jesus talks about in the scripture, learning something from the children of this age about wealth. Us children of the light want to follow the rules and get it right and do everything necessary. But children of this age, Jesus says, think differently. They are shrewder. They're more guile. And then the trick isn't asking how much is enough. It's asking, why are we so shocked that God would grant grace to anyone? Because we want the scales to be balanced. We don't want to be robbed of our earnings. We don't want to be robbed of our grace. We have worked hard for our faith. We have worked hard to make us the Christians that we are. We want what's coming to us, the riches that are eternal life. But God says, what if it's available to all, even at a discounted rate than what you paid? What if the same thing that you are getting is open to all, even if it doesn't come in at 80 cents on the dollar or 20 cents on the dollar? And maybe we get that this story isn't about how much that we cut deals as the shrewd manager, but maybe we finally get that this story is about God as the master of everything. Maybe this story is enabling us to see that 80% of what we can give God is enough. And when we feel like giving God 50%, maybe that's enough. Or maybe 20% Or maybe just being here when you feel like you are dust of the earth and crumbs under the table is enough, because God's economy does not work like ours. How much is enough? I think this parable is placed in Luke's gospel to shock us children of the light, as he calls us, those who are seeking and searching and calling out to God, those who are loving and ministering to one another, children of the light who attend to daily prayer, to reading of scriptures, to worship. Maybe God's inviting us, children of the light, those who are here on a Sunday morning, to not look at the bottom line of our economics, but to look at the bottom line of God's economics, which is built on the relationship that Jesus Christ wants to have for the entire world. Because even the shrewd manager knew that when the money runs out and your title is gone, the only thing that you're left with is the people you surround yourself with, friends and relationships. The only thing that we know for certain that's in heaven is people. So why would we spend our time investing in anything less than that? We're indebted to the one who creates us. We're indebted to the one who writes off our debts. We are indebted to the one who has given us every good gift. How much are we in debt? Jesus says, "You who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit of those who ask?" Jesus says, "Consider the lilies. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, yet God feeds them. How much more value are you than that of the birds of the air?" And Jesus says, "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you?" See, our desire is to say, "God, how much can we give to you?" And to start there as if we could earn our way back into the Master's good graces. But God says to us, "How much more? How much more will I give to you, my children of this age and children of the light?" How dare Jesus use a shrewd manager to teach us about grace? "I'm not sure I can take much more of this, Jesus." To which Christ will respond, "It's okay. You have no idea how much more I can give you." Thanks be to God that we serve a God who speaks to us in the unexpected ways through a shrewd manager, to the children of the light and the children of this age. Because if God can use him, that shrewd manager, that deceitful, lying, sleazy scumbag, then God can certainly use us. How much more? Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.